Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
That as we move forward in the service, you would do more than we could ask or imagine. Help us be receptive to what you're saying and soil in which your word can grow. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you on this cold morning. Glad you guys made the trek. It is sunny, which is nice. But we're going to jump right in. I have a lot I want to go through. And the Lord threw that extra song in the beginning. So we want to cover this and get there. So open your Bibles to Haggai or your phone apps. Haggai. I know it's everybody's favorite book. One of the things about Haggai that's awesome is it's only two chapters. It's just two chapters. It's really easy. The trouble with it is, when you do that, I'm going to open my Bible and just read Bible study method, which a lot of people like. You're probably never going to open to Haggai. It only takes up a page and a half, and it's in a really weird space. So good chance anybody never read it. Anybody willing to admit that? That's all right. Everybody knows what it's about already? Okay, so we're going to talk about it. So I've titled today's message, The Great Misunderstanding. It's kind of an odd title, The Great Misunderstanding, and I really wrestled with sharing this because I might be talking more to the people that are not here than the people that are here, and I never want to do that. I want to give you guys something that helps you grow, helps you become closer with the Lord, but I did, after wrestling with it for a long time, I felt like it is going to bring clarity to a couple of things for us as we move forward. So for a while now, I've been promising you some messages about community. You know, we were talking about community. It's one of the things we're focusing on this year. And this is one of those, but it isn't how to build community or how to love people in community or how to thrive in community message. It's a different kind of message. It's more about clearing up a misunderstanding concerning community. So we felt led by the Lord to focus on three things this year. The first one is our own individual relationship with God, and we're referring to that as communion. When we go and we spend time with God, whether that looks like personal worship, Bible study, prayer, taking a walk with your dog, however that looks for you, we're talking about spending time with God, and we're calling it communion this year, having that covenant, that relationship. And then we're also focusing on our relationships together as the family of God, and we're referring to that as the word community. And the third thing we're focusing on in 2022 is commission. Being and doing the things God created us to do, each together and individually. And we said this is a progression. First you work on communion, your relationship with God. Then you work on community, your relationship with the people of God. And out of those two things, it becomes apparent the things you were created to do and you are commissioned to do them. So we've said many times that your life should be thriving. And when we said that, we had this picture of a flower in a field full of flower buds, but that one flower is blooming. And so our life should be in such a way, because of our relationship with the Lord, where we're thriving and the people around us who are just flower buds and are not thriving see the difference and they're drawn to it. Remember when we first moved into this building, we were in John 10:10. We started about 4 months of services with that verse. John 10:10, many of you probably remember it. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and may have life and may have it more abundantly. And these are the words of Jesus, the words of Jesus saying why he came. The reason that Jesus said he came was so that they, and now who's they? That's us. Yeah? Yeah. So you're they. I'm they. People that come to know Jesus are they. So Jesus came so that we might have life more abundantly. The Amplified version of the Bible says that they may have and enjoy life, and they may have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. The Passion Translation says, the words of Jesus, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. Just for clarity, we are not looking for super yachts or Ferraris, but for healthy, whole people. We aren't like the world. We were once like the world, but now we aren't. We should look different. We should have different experiences. We've often used the example, 2020, the world shutting down, and the Lord's like, hey, have a new nice building to us. Yes. So this is how it should be. The world doesn't have the answers we need. They are found in Jesus and in his word and in his family. So I'm going to say that again. Somebody once said, the world doesn't have the answers we need. That was a joke, not a quote, sorry. They are found in Jesus and his word and in his family. So if you've been attending here for any length of time, you know about the three soils. We talk about dirt a lot. It seems like a weird thing to talk about, but Jesus talked about dirt a lot. There's some parables of the sower. There's some other things in the Bible. Dirt's pretty awesome. You put something in dirt, a seed, and the seed takes what it needs out of the dirt, and it makes a tree, a plant, out of the dirt. The tree came from the dirt, not the seed. The seed's just the blueprint. Dirt. All right, so we talk a lot about dirt. The concept we've talked about before is that our lives need to be planted in three places in order for us to grow and thrive. We need to be in his presence. We need to be planted in his presence. We could draw a connection between that and the communion we just talked about, relationship with God, time with God and worship. We need to be planted in his word. It needs to shape our worldview. Worldview is how we view the world through what lens we view it from. The Bible should determine our worldview. It needs to have an influence over our life. Reading and applying it will set us apart. There are things I won't do because of what the scripture says. And there are things that I will do that someone in the world thinks is nuts because of what the scripture says. Living by the Bible sets us apart. We have said that relationships are important to each of us becoming what the Lord created us to be. And we really long for deep connection. We do. As humans, we're wired that way. The world around us knows we long for it. It's jumped in for a chance to help us feel like we have those connections. Social media thrives in this world. It's great to see pictures of friends from your past, people you once met, maybe spent time with them, but it's not real community. I just put up a picture of my wife and I on our wedding day. It has 250 some odd likes, which is awesome. And when I looked at who those people were, there's probably about you guys and a few other people that I see on a regular basis. So there's this shadow or fake thing that says, hey, you have this huge community. But there's a reality of there's people I actually run into. I'm getting off on a little rabbit trail, but I don't know if you've noticed, it's kind of harder for young men and young women to choose one person to spend their life with in this time, because they have 3,000 beautiful pictures of people that are their friends. And I'm not that old, but I look back, there was somebody standing there, like a real person, not a bunch of people that I could connect with. There was a real person there. She was following the Lord too. We were headed the same way. And when I asked the Lord about it, I felt like he gave me the thumbs up. That's the short version of how we met. Right. You know. And so there's this fake shadow of community, and then there's real community. So it's good that we can have connection points in the social media world, but it's not real community. There are 3.96 billion people on social media today. That's 51% of the global population. On average, global internet users, global, spend 144 minutes on social media sites every day. Some of you guys are bringing that number way down. Some of you guys are bringing that number way up. It's okay. We're just showing you how people are drawn to this false sense of connection. When it comes to countries with the most time spent on social media, anybody want to guess? It's not us. It's the Philippines. Average user in the Philippines, 3 hours and 53 minutes on social media every day. This explains a lot to me because our band page has a lot of likes and there's a huge population of Indonesians and Filipino people on there. So I totally understand now. So in the United States, on average, people that use social media spend 2 hours and 3 minutes on social media every day. Right. We're too busy for a lot of things. All right. So did you know, this is a question you don't have to answer. Did you know social media welcomes more than 1 million users every day? New users. 1 million people sign up. All right. So this isn't a social media is bad message, but I want us to contrast time spent scrolling and having a false sense of being connected to community and time spent actually engaging real people. So the average American, I just did a little math here, spends 14 hours and 21 minutes on social media every week, looking for connection with our community, with other people. 14 hours and 21 minutes. So what is our current goal? I'm going to give you a couple of different ways this is phrased as we go through this message. Our current goal as a community of people, we want to be a thriving community of people that is centered around a church. We want people who don't know Jesus to come into contact with that group of people, experience the love of God, and then believe in Jesus and join this community. Sounds like a good goal. All right. And you've heard this true phrase that I'm not going to disagree with this. You've heard this. It's a true phrase. And it's this. It's the church is the people, not the building. And like I said, I don't disagree with that. You know, we are so blessed that God provided us a great space to meet in, but we can meet anywhere and still be the people of God. But what if we aren't meeting? Are we still a community? The building isn't the church, the people are, and the weekly meetings are too. So we use this word, and we say a church isn't a building, but we use the word church to describe the building. We use the word church to describe the people that are connected with that Christian community and Christians worldwide, and we use the word church to describe the meeting that we're having. It's not an either or. We have this concept where things have to be one or the other. But that word describes all three, and it's intertwined, it's intertangled, and I think it's on purpose. So hang with me for a second. What is at the center of Christian community? It's Jesus. It's Jesus, right. Jesus. So millions of Christians worldwide meet every Sunday to gather around what they have in common, Jesus, for worship, teaching, prayer, fellowship. And that meeting is the core of the community. And if you take the fancy buildings and the sound systems and the instruments away, or make it illegal for them to meet, they still will. So let me just stress that I know you are the guys that are already here. All right. So there are some things that I think we need to clarify as we move forward. As a nation, we've seen cultural shifts with the priority we put on a Sunday morning meeting. Pre-COVID, average American Christians that say they attend a church regularly attended a church 1.1 times per month. I am a regular church attender. I go once a month. I heard a guy that has a thriving children's ministry in a large church, and he was talking to parents about parenting, and Kathy and I were listening to it, learning how to be better parents. And one thing that he said that really caught my ear was, on average, they only have 2 hours a month with your kids, because you're only there once a month. So you look to the children's ministry to help your kids know about God, but you only come once every month. not you guys, but I'm saying. So it was interesting to see how that plays out. So we long for connection with others. We spend an average of more than 60 hours a month on social media trying to achieve false sense of community. But then on average, not you guys, but on average, we attend one church service that month. The very thing that will lead to those connections that we want. The service here runs for about an hour and a half. Did you guys know that? Usually people stick around and hang out.
Yeah.
We're going to get things back up and running where we have meals together, things like that. But most people stay another hour visiting. So you have 2.5 hours a week, 10 hours a month. Contrast that to your average social media user looking for community, 60 hours a month. All right, so we're going to introduce some other meetings throughout this year. They're still in process. Sometimes we'll just be meeting to eat. I've wanted to do this for a long time. One night a month, we come, we eat, we high five, we hang out. That's it. And then we want to have, sorry, I lost my place. Sometimes they'll be topic focused. Like we're meeting to have a worship event. We're meeting to have a guest speaker. Might be a weeknight service. I just want to encourage you guys, as these connection points, even the online Bible study come up, take advantage of them because we crave those connections. Culturally, Christians aren't placing value on the Sunday morning gathering that we ought to. So just self-assess. It isn't meant to condemn or manipulate anyone, but I want to ask you this question. Is it on your calendar? Is it actually there? Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to 11:45, 11:30, this is where I'm at. Or do I look at my calendar and say, oh, there's nothing else there. I feel up to making the journey. So, do you need to decide if you're coming to church each Sunday? When do you decide? Just think about it for yourself. You know, all of us that have families want them to know Jesus. Like, I want my family to know Jesus. And there's a lot of things that we do that we think are important. But the most important thing is that our families make it to heaven. And when I think about my childhood, I never ever once had to ask if we were going to church. We were going. So I'm just throwing that out there for you guys to self-assess. All right, so you should be in the book of Haggai. If not, open your Bible apps. Just 2 chapters. We're going to cover the bulk of it, but you should plan to take 5 minutes to read the whole thing later. Just want you to know what all is in there. But there is a cause and effect here. The people of God are not doing certain things, so they aren't receiving the results that they want. Does that make sense? Cause and effect. We're like that sometimes. We want results without work. As humans, we all know what to do to be healthy. We eat things that are good for us, and we don't eat things that are bad for us, and we exercise. But there's still a huge portion of people looking for a way to do that, to be healthy, without actually doing what you need to do to be healthy. You can get yourself some shakes, some pills, some surgeries, all kinds of things to get that going. So consider our current goal. I shared it with you earlier. We want a thriving community of people centered around a church. We want people who don't know Jesus to come into contact with that group of people, experience the love of God, and then believe in Jesus and join this community. So I think a lot of people approach a church like they're making a purchase or buying a car. What do I want out of a car? It needs to be comfortable. It needs to do everything I want. And it needs to look cool. Sometimes people buy cars and they want to use it now and pay for it later. But I think people approach church like consumers. Is this going to do what I want it to do? And most of us realize this. With our cars, we have foresight. And what I mean by that is we think ahead with our cars. Every one of us plugs the thing in or goes to the gas station. And we do this on a regular basis because we know if we don't put gas in that car, it's not going to work. Now, whose fault is it if the car runs out of gas? Is it the car's? It's worth thinking about. How about this? I tried driving, and there were other cars that didn't treat me well, so I stopped driving. How about this? I had to park really far away from the door because the other cars were in my way, so I felt insignificant, and I had to walk really far into the gym to walk on the treadmill. Sorry, that's a personal pet peeve of mine, people fighting over gym parking spaces. All right, so I apologize. I'm really sorry. But I'm sorry for making everything about cars, not for stretching you guys. All right, so Haggai, the book of Haggai, is about the house of the Lord. In your Bible, chapter 1 should have a heading that says something like this: a call to build the house of the Lord. I think it's pretty clear that what comes next is going to be about building the house of the Lord. So in Haggai, again, there's that cause and effect. Don't do something, get these results. Do something else and get other results. So I want to start with the results. I want you guys to turn to chapter 2. Don't worry, we'll go back to chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 6. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And this is what it says. It says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says." So who said it? The Lord Almighty. "In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." So there it is. That's the result we want. We want the glory of this present house. Verse 9, "The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." We're going to break that down a little more in a little bit. But I want to ask you, are those the results we have? Are we doing the greater things Jesus talked about? Is the glory of this church or the current church on the earth greater than the glory of different seasons of the church in the past? We live in a culture that would say church is not relevant, that it's powerless, that it's unimportant. And this is what's happening in Haggai. The people weren't seeing what God promised concerning certain things happening. And there was a reason. There's a reason they weren't seeing what they thought should happen. And so we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to all those apps click away. Chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to do the names. I'm sorry that they're fun names. "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel," who's the son of someone, "the governor of Judah." So the word of the Lord comes from Haggai to the governor, and to Joshua, the son of someone, Joshua, who's the high priest. So you have the prophet comes, and he has the word of the Lord, and he gives it to the governmental official and the spiritual leader. Pretty awesome, right? God, give us a government that wants to hear the prophetic word. And so this is what the Lord Almighty says. So here's the word. "The people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" So the amount of importance they were placing on God's house was far less than it should have been. They had a priority on their comfort and their stuff, not God's. When they lived in this way, these were the results they got. Verse 5. "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have you fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." So thank God, this is Old Testament and we have access to grace. But those were their results. They had a priority on their stuff, not God's. They were working hard, but the results they have was they planted much, they harvested little, so they worked hard for a little amount of fruit. They ate but were never full. They put clothes on but weren't warm. And they tried to save, but it was like there was holes in their pockets. So these aren't really great results. So our covenant, because of Jesus, is a covenant of grace. But it's really worth considering. Am I not seeing certain results concerning the house of God, the church, or the community because I'm not making it a priority? Just think about that. Is that true in your life? This is what's happening here in Haggai. So God then tells them what to do. Don't you love it? Like, I would love this. God, come tell me what I'm doing wrong and tell me what to do. So, we're going to form an action plan out of these next few verses. Guys, cool with an action plan? I'm not going to call you at home and make sure you did it. But, you know, if you want different results, try something different. So, verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Step 1. Think about your life. Seems easy, right? Seems easy. So what priority do you have on God's house? So step 1, think about your life. What priority do you have on God's house? Verse 8. Verse 8, and here's where things get really fun. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So step 2, gather resource. So some of you guys are already cringing. I'm not going to talk about money. At least not in this message. So gather a resource. And I want you to look at the picture here. This isn't pulling out your phone, opening the Instacart app, and ordering lumber from the Home Depot. It's not. This is go up to the mountain, cut down a tree by hand, and bring it back. There's some work involved here. You know, there's a lot of personal sacrifice involved in that process. We're all blessed with chainsaws and friends with chainsaws, and we don't get this, cutting down a whole tree by hand to make boards for a big building. So the personal sacrifice is involved with that process, taking ownership of something by giving of your time and energy and resources. Think about what that would look like in a place like this. Now, I want you to picture they built the temple of God. So let's just make up two fictional characters. And so guy goes up, he's got his little son with him, he cuts down a tree, they tie it up to some ox, they drag it miles and miles back to the temple. Little son's there. So picture generations go on. So this little son's now telling his little son, hey, that's the board me and grandpa got. They have ownership, they have investment in the house of the Lord. You know, we have, not necessarily us, but there's a church culture, I'm just coming to consume, you know? So, we're small at this point. We don't require much, but there are a few things. And I'm not saying this because I know a lot of you guys do a lot, and I really appreciate that, and I don't want the people that do a lot to say, hey, I can do all these things too. So there's some stuff that we'd like to see happen that's not happening, and I'm just going to mention some of these things here. One of them is there's always something that needs cleaned. It would be awesome if people would come here and pray. Even if it's just you, or if it's you and your friend. Occasionally, there's some snow shoveling that needs done. Sometimes we need to go to the store and pick up some coffee. More recently, we could use some ice melt. We need people that go out of their way to check on the folks that aren't here, but are part of this family. We need someone to coordinate volunteers to do some of these things, someone to plan events that we can all enjoy. We need people to update our social media and answer questions on there. We need someone to plan to come here and pray regularly and invite others to join them. We need people to volunteer to walk the blocks around this church and just connect with the people that live here that are walking around these blocks. I had about 3 conversations getting out of my car today with people just walking by. Being intentional, I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to smile and say hi to people. All right. So step 1, you guys remember what it was? Think about your life. Think about your life. What priority do you have on God's house? Step 2, gather resource, find the need and fill it. Step 3, also out of verse 8, I'm going to read verse 8 again. go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So step three is build. All right, verse 9. You expect much, but see, it turned into little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. So I thought busy was a 21st century problem. But right here, I mean, we are before Jesus, so we are probably 3,000 years ago. The people are too busy. And you guys know, when you ask people, hey, how are you? I'm busy. Do you guys know what that means? That means they've already decided what you might ask them to do is low priority. I'm so grateful when I ask my dad how he's doing. He never says busy. I'm so grateful when I ask my wife how she's doing. She never says busy. Now, you could really be busy. That's cool. But when you say it to me, I'm going to take it like you're too busy for me. And that's okay. And most people, there are people, most people are going to get that message if you say, how are you? I'm busy. I'm just saying. Thanks for talking to me. I'm too busy. All right. Anyway, so people that say they're busy as the answer of how they are have already decided what you might ask them to do is low priority, but those same people have over 2 hours a day for social media. Everybody okay? Everybody's all right? We love people. We don't hate people. That's why we say these things, so people can change. All right, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, I'm skipping a few names. If you want them, read along. The high priest and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. So check it out. Pretty awesome. You got the governmental leadership, the religious leadership. They said, hey, that message from the prophet was from God, so we're going to do it. So then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave a message. Immediately when they said they were going to do it, verse 13, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. That'd be a great message. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began work on the house of the Lord their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. So the Lord was with them and they started to build. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to look at some highlights in chapter 2. So if you're in chapter 1, turn to chapter 2. Starting in verse 3, it says, who is left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem like nothing? And so the prophet, he's speaking into a very real thing. We can look at something and we can say, hey, it's not as good as what was. But we can also look at something, come alongside with resource, build, think about where we fit, and we can make it better. And it says, now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. That's the high priest. Be strong, all the people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. So be strong and work. And verse 5, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So you can put, this is what I covenanted with you when you received Jesus. And the Spirit remained at And then the Lord says, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And we have that. We sang about it this morning. The spirit remains among us, so we shouldn't fear. And these are the results that we want. The Lord with us. We don't want to build a house without the Lord. And his spirit remaining among us, and there's nothing to fear. So I'm going to read verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I would like to assert here that we have been in a season of this, where the nations have been shaken, and what they've desired, they're getting. And along with that, but separate from it, in that season, The Lord will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. So the Lord's going to fill his house with his glory. In verse 8 it says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. So the house was made out of silver and gold back then. In verse 9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And I want you to notice, because we have a mindset. Remember, the church is not the building, or is the building, and is the people that meet in the building, and is the meeting that happens in the building. But look where the peace is. And in this place, I will grant peace. In this place, in the building, there's lots of people in the world today that wouldn't come to this place because they perceive it as powerless, irrelevant. And the Lord's getting ready to shift all that. He's going to call his people to rise and to build his house again, and he plans to respond to it. And these are the results that we want: a community, meetings, and a building filled with the glory of God and peace. All right, so this week, I'd love for you guys to spend time on the three steps that we outlined. So write them down or remember them or text them to Bob. Then you'll have them too, see? All right, step one, think about your life. What priority do you have on God's house? Think about your life. What priority do you have on God's house? And we're talking about all three: the building, the meeting, and the people. Step two is gather resource. Find a need and fill it. Go up to the mountain, cut it down, and drag it back if you have to. Step three is build. And that's coming here with an attitude of ownership. People will come to Jesus, grow, and thrive in this place. People will come to Jesus, grow, and thrive in this place. But our participation in that is important. All right, I'm going to pray for you guys. Go ahead and stand up. So, Father, we're so grateful for what you're doing among us. We're so grateful for where you've placed us and the people that we can reach out to. Lord, we just pray that you would show us how to be all in on what you want to do here. Forgive us for not taking responsibility for gathering resources and the building of your house. We pray that what you're building here reaches the lost and changes this city. We pray for creativity to be unlocked among your people and that they would be empowered as resourcers and builders. And Lord, that you would help us lay down the things that distract us and prioritize things that are important to you as our top priorities. And we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that as everyone leaves, they would have great favor, that they would have a week of encounter with you, that you would give us divine opportunity. And we thank you, Lord, that you meet all our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks everybody.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away right here. I'm taking away.